Hello, Teach Better family. My name is Katie Miglin, and I'm here with the amazing Sarah Jesse, and we're going to talk today about some easy ways that you can assess students that are not just giving them a test and not using necessarily paper and pencil. So sit tight, and we'll be back in just about 30 seconds. Like I said, my name is Katie Miglin, and I'm with the Teach Better team, and I have another Teach Better team member, Sarah Jesse. And today our goal is to talk about assessing in a non-traditional way and some ways that you can get some data from your students that doesn't involve a test or a quiz or some of those things we've all heard of. And this is all meant to help our remote EdX grant clients that we work with, but really also to kind of spread the information to anyone, because we feel like this information is valuable. So we come on about once a month to share some tips and tricks on things that you can take back to your classrooms immediately. So Sarah, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So Sarah, I know who you are. Sarah and I work together, at a middle school together, but you're also associated with the team. So can you tell us not only what do you do for the Teach Better team, but also what do you do in your classroom? Kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So my name's Sarah Jesse. I work, like Katie said, I work for the Teach Better team. I do graphic design. So I get to make the blog images that go with the blogs that get put out, which is really fun and creative work, which I love to do. And full-time, I teach 7th grade Lit and Comp and Language Arts to 7th grade students who just love to learn every day at Evans Junior High in Central Illinois. And I'm in my classroom right now because it's the middle of our school day. So that's where I am usually, and that's where I am now.
That's awesome. And for those of you who don't totally know, your backdrop is actually because you just got done doing like a room transformation. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. It was fabulous. So this was my language arts class. So we've been writing poems for a few weeks. The kids have been doing all kinds of interesting poetry activities, and they chose a meaningful topic and they all wrote poems. So we created a poetry cafe. We called it the LA Cafe. And there were tablecloths, and we got like disposable cups for the kids to drink fake coffee out of. And they came up to the front with the backdrops and read their poems. And I walked around like a dorky beatnik with a drum banging on it and saying cat's pajamas and daddy-o. And they just had a great time.
That is so fun. Well, it sounds like you kind of had a crazy Friday already, but we all appreciate you taking a minute to kind of jump on here and talk about something that you and I talked about a lot as educators that when we, you know, shared space in the building. So Sarah and I actually worked together for a long, long time before we joined Teach Better. And Sarah, you and I always were kind of non-traditional in how we wanted things to run. I felt like, you know, perfect example of what you're doing today with the room transformation. And we kind of always collaborated, which is what I loved about our work relationship, is that, you know, it was like, I'm sick of doing this. And then we would just pitch an idea and one of us would be able to run with it. Mm-hmm. So when we decided to do this on assessing students, I felt like you had to be on here with me because it is something that we had talked about so many times. And just, we were so good at like, you know, considering non-traditional ways, because yes, we both use paper and pencil. We don't want you to take that away. We both know that there's a time and a place for a specific test that, you know, needs to be given, but it's all the in-betweens, right? So when we're thinking of assessing students, we're not necessarily today going to talk about like summative assessments or those bigger tests that are, you know, you've chunked a lot more information. We're really talking about ways you can test to see where students are at in their learning in those in-betweens where you're just kind of checking in with them. And so we're going to give three quick strategies that the idea is that someone could take and implement on Monday, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first one that we kind of talked through was conferencing. And I know what I love about our conversation is that you taught reading and writing and I taught math, and yet we both utilized conferencing. So Sarah, can you kind of share a little bit about what your lit circles were? Because that's where I felt like you used conferencing the most, and kind of talk about what that conference looked like and what were you hoping to get out of it?
Absolutely. When we do lit circles and lit and comp, and the kids are reading a book with a few other kids that, you know, were interested in the same thing, sitting together in a circle and just talking like, hey, what's going on in your book? What are some interesting things that are happening? Tell me about this character. So the kids just live action talking about what they're reading. And you could do that independently with kids reading a book or in that small group, which then like gets more kids assessed at a time, which we know like saving time is the most important thing you can do. And then you can just see in real time, okay, this kid is, you know, can give tons of examples from the text. This kid can analyze character. This student is talking about theme on a really deep level. And this kid seems confused about what book they're talking about. So then you can touch base with an individual kid later based on what you see in the moment. You can like dismiss a few kids at a time and be like, you guys are great. You know, you can head back to your seats. You too, I want to talk just a little bit longer. It can be...
Motion censored lights. It's okay.
It can be so informal and low pressure that the kids don't feel like they're being tested. And then I think you can get a little more authentic understanding from them sometimes if they don't feel that test pressure. It's just like, this is a quick, easy conference.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because you say the exact same reasons I liked conferencing with, like, through the math lens. It was, there was no pressure, no high stakes. Kids felt like they were really just talking about what they knew, which is so valuable because sometimes, and we know this about students, they get that pressure, they get the anxiety when there's like a test. But here we're gathering information that we know we need to use for future steps and, you know, how much do they know or don't know. But it's not like they just feel like they're talking to their teacher about it. And the more often you do it, the less pressure it feels. They're not like talking to a big scary adult. They're just talking to their teacher about what they know and what they've gathered in your case from books, which is great. You mentioned saving time, which is a game changer. I know you and I both like hate taking home big stacks of paper because we know it's been sitting in that bag for a while. So for this, for conferencing, you can literally talk to four or five kids or hear their conversations naturally and get all the information you need, but also be able to kind of provide feedback to them in the moment, which is really big. I know for math, it was very similar. I would either pose a question or like, you know, some sort of problem. And I had them literally just walk me through it, like talk out loud what your steps were. I know we do very similar things with like encouraging other voices to be heard. So not having one kid dictate the whole conversation, which is a great, you know, strategy to use, especially if you have a kid that's really excited about the topic. Making sure that you give other kids the time and space to be able to express their ideas. But yeah, just being able to like give them that, you know, verbal feedback. And sometimes it's easier, I don't know about you, but I find it's easier to talk out what I'm thinking versus writing it all out. You know, writing a few things on a piece of paper is sometimes very constricting. But if you could like say like, hey, I noticed this or good job with this, like it's so much easier. I mean, what do you think?
Right. You're seeing their thinking instead of just seeing their final conclusion. So if I ask the same question and they have a piece of paper, then they, you know, it's not always as easy as right or wrong, but all I get is their final product. I don't get to see like them working through it out loud. So if they're talking and they're like, well, I think the character is, you know, actually being really unfair. And then they're like, well, wait a second, on this page, they said this. And then like, I can see their thinking actually happening. And if they were doing just writing an answer on paper, that thinking would either be stalled because they're just writing it down, or I wouldn't see the process. And that is where I get to see if they're learning, like what their learning looks like and if their learning is happening. So that out loud talking is so valuable.
I totally agree. And I think it helps too, because then when I go to grade one of those bigger, you know, heavier tests at the end of a unit or chapter or whatever, then I feel like I have the full picture of where their thinking was versus mm-hmm. just getting that like final document. Like you said, you get to kind of hear mm-hmm. their thoughts as they unfolded. And so then you can see where the end product came from.
Right. And if they were showing mastery during every step of conferencing, then that end product, I've really already assessed them and I know that they've shown mastery. So I can just glance at it. Yep. Continued mastery and done. So it saves time in the end too.
100% agree. Yes. Okay. So conferencing, this is the first one. I feel like we both use that pretty frequently. Easy way. It doesn't require a lot of prep. Just kind of mm-hmm. going into the conversation, knowing you're looking for a few things you've got in the back of your mind is helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Second thing that you are so much better at than I am, but you coached me many times, is the creating something. So I know for math, I struggled sometimes on how to like have some sort of creation that involved numbers, but this could be literally anything. And I think sometimes people think it has to be this big project. So it's like, we've got to chunk a bunch of time, but we didn't always have a big project. Sometimes it was like, can you draw a picture or can you create lyrics to a song or, you know, some of those like where kids can use their creative side. Mm-hmm. So when have you found this to be successful or like, when have you used this that you were like, this was a good choice?
Mm-hmm. Well, looking around my room, I see like little snippets of, oh, this kid created this and I thought it was so cool. So I hung it up. One of my favorite like teeny tiny ideas that turned out to be so effective for me was to have my students make a license plate, a personalized license plate. And this was a bell work that I think I thought of on my drive to school. And I explained what a personalized license plate looked like. I made up an example for a book we had read aloud. I was like, okay, you have to create one for a character from your book that shows something that they would like want to represent about themselves mm-hmm. in a personalized license plate. And some of them just took it so far and ran with it. Like there's ones in my room hanging up that also have like the design of the Illinois license plate in the background, cool. But they came up with like symbols, letters, and numbers that represented some interesting character trait. And walking around and watching them work on that, I was like, oh, what does this idea mean? And then they would explain it to me. And I was like, oh, can you think like a little deeper? Or, oh, that really shows the character. So it was just this super quick, like creative kind of fun thing that the kids could also take really far, like artistically. But if you weren't artistic, you could just write some letters on a rectangle and still do the same activity. So that was a really fun kind of simple creative thing.
And like you said, it didn't require, like you didn't have a lot of materials, you know, you just had to have basic rectangles. Mm-hmm. They could take it as far or as basic as they wanted. There was lots of flexibility mm-hmm. with the creative side. I love that. And I'm like sitting here thinking like, that's only like what 7 characters can fit on a license plate. So mm-hmm. they had to get really creative, which I love that. Mm-hmm.
And there were so many exciting ones. I just seeing kids come up with ways to do something that I was like, I've never done this. I don't know. What are we going to come up with? And just take off with it. It was really exciting.
Well, I know you're really good in those, like in the moments kind of coming up with something. So I loved being able to come over to your room and say like, here's like the fifth of the idea that I have. Can you help me get it to like where I can roll it out? But one thing I felt like I definitely did over time was throw in like things that I thought were too young for them. You know, we taught middle school, mm-hmm. but I always had a thing of Play-Doh in my room. And, you know, we use Play-Doh all the time, but kids love to create. And so there were times where I would have them, we talked about the writing process. I know, you know, that was something I did all the time where mm-hmm. it was like, okay, we're at 5 minutes to add something, 5 minutes to take away. And then we talked about like, well, what did we do today? We went through basically the writing process using Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. There were times where we were in algebra and I had them model their equations using different types mm-hmm. of Play-Doh and how do we represent what the unknown is. And I think the big thing is getting them to kind of take the idea you're teaching in class, whether it's science, whether it's reading, writing, whatever, and have them create something. I think you get to tap into a part of their brain that maybe you're not seeing. And mm-hmm. I'm not an artist. Like you're definitely the artist in our friendship, you know, like, so sometimes I would struggle as the teacher to come up with something creative, but mm-hmm. you kind of taught me that like giving them less is actually giving them more and giving them like little instructions. Like you said, it was just the license plate. You gave them instructions and, you know, kind of let them run with it. And I think that's so valuable to let them do what they want with it, because then you get to see more information than you would if you would have asked a direct question. So, yes.
Love and the confidence that some kids have in a different area, like maybe you don't feel confident in reading, but you feel confident in art, and I give you Play-Doh to represent your reading. Well, suddenly you're going at it feeling like you're ahead of the game instead of like, well, I don't know what to do, but you're like, oh, I'm going to make something that looks so much better than everyone else. And then you actually like end up being really successful in every area.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be something big. There goes your lights again. That is motion sensor lights, everyone.
Good for the environment, bad for live recording.
Right, exactly. But no, I think the big thing is like, it doesn't have to be just like conferencing. It doesn't have to be a lot of prep. You don't have to have the Play-Doh. Maybe you look at Black Friday and you can get a good deal, or, you know, like finding some of those things that you already have access to. Mm-hmm. And just seeing how you can let them kind of figure out what they're going to do with it, but making sure that you're still gathering the data you needed. You were looking for character analysis and kind of that development. I was looking at, do they understand how equations work, or do they understand the writing process? You know, there's lots of things that you can look for, but letting them be able to create is where you'll actually get your answer. So I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, the last one is something I feel like we got really good at during COVID days, which, you know, there's a lot of things we don't ever want to do again, but this was something you and I kept kind of using, which was having the students record videos. And we're not talking long, we're not talking like a 20-minute movie, really quick videos. You loved Flipgrid. So can you tell us a little bit of how you, even if you don't use Flipgrid, how someone could use like a short little video a student creates or puts out? What did you use it for?
Well, I used it just the other day for something. I had the students, they kind of built these towers to represent the different levels of thinking. And I was like trying to get around to all the groups in my first hour. I'm like, I got to check in. I got to do a conference. And I realized this is not working. I have like, these groups are waiting. They've got all this information they're kind of showing. And then second hour, I was like, what? I don't have to talk to them in person for them to conference with me. And I just made a quick Flipgrid directions. I was like, after you build your tower, make a 1-minute video with your group explaining why you ordered these pieces of evidence the way you did. And they were immediately engaged in doing that instead of waiting for me to come to their table. So they just made these quick videos. They stayed in the classroom. They didn't need props or scripts. It was, you know, it was so impromptu, but right away, I think there's just something about being on screen that makes you feel like accountable, and you have to do your best and really be on task because it's watching you. And they just made these quick little videos to explain their thinking. And it was really easy. It was an easy way to assess and to get them like to think out loud.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Flipgrid too, if you're not familiar with that program, it is free. It's easy to use. I mean, we feel like it's pretty user-friendly. But what I specifically liked about it is not only could the students record a quick video, I could record a quick video back to them. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when I needed to like fully explain what they needed to either like do, you know, like redo or things I thought were really impressive, I had a whole video I could like record and send it back versus trying to write it all out on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of benefit that I know you and I both used it for students to give feedback to each other. You know, they can make it more of a public video. So there's lots of ways you can do that. But I think it also kind of goes back to the conference. Like you said, your original thought was, I'm going to check in with every group and hear their thinking. But then you realize that wasn't essential for what you needed. You just needed their thinking within the tower. So there, if there's an opportunity where you don't need the back and forth, you just want to like consume what they have, you know, kind of in their brain, you can easily have them record a quick video, upload it on Google Classroom or whatever kind of platform you have. Mm-hmm. And then that's an easy way too for students to get their thinking out loud verbally. And they do, you know, there is something about the videos. They love making them. Like it's kind of fun. So, but I would say anything that can be like quick feedback and quick for them to create is kind of the big takeaway. Mm-hmm. So to kind of recap today, we've talked about conferencing and how you can utilize that for any subject area, but really going through the mindset of it's a conversation, but you're looking for specific things. Mm-hmm. Then creation. So having them create something using that, you know, the other side of the brain, that art piece to let them kind of show in a more visually friendly way. And then last one would be videos. So creating a video, giving some of their thinking, and or, you know, maybe they want to like create something and show it in the video. Kind of, there's lots of flexibility. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing, if you take nothing else away, remind yourself it doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to require a lot of prep, money, resources, all the things that sometimes we lack. These are simple things that if you just want to free yourself up from grading another piece of paper, consider doing one of these things. And so then you can be freed up to give them authentic feedback and get to see the student's creative side. So, Sarah, anything else for our viewers to take away when it comes to easy assessing?
One thing I realized about every example we talked about, not a single one of them would I put in my bag to carry home, which is really exciting stuff for assessments.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, save your bag for when you have to take home like a test or something in grade. Keep the day-to-day kind of feedback assessment moments for some of the things we gave you. So Sarah, thank you so much for giving up some of your day. I'm sure you're headed back to like craziness, but we do appreciate you taking some time in your classroom to share some of your insight. And until next time, thanks everybody.
Thanks.